Rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. In verse 9, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possessions, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you, as foreigners and exiles, to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Are you on the edge of your seats? No popcorn here. Good morning, everyone. I want to take you back a few years for me. As a boy, I grew up with, had an imagination and aspiration of traveling through space in a spaceship, going to the outer regions, different galaxy, traveling at the speed of light, and then just touching the button which sends me into hyperdrive. I don't know if any of you, some of you may have had similar aspirations and imaginations of, maybe for you it was, you know, watching Luke Skywalker. He was your inspiration. Or Captain Kirk. Or maybe you were lost in space with the Robinson family. Perhaps today you want to be a guardian of the galaxy. Or maybe you just loved playing Space Invaders or Asteroids on the Atari. Anyone remember the Atari? Going back a bit. Or your interest in space travel may have been heightened by watching the broadcast of the moon landing. Does anyone here? Access? 50 years ago. Yes. Space exploration, traveling to a strange planet, finding that you've landed somewhere unfamiliar and foreign. The possibility of space travel for us is pretty remote. But the reality of us finding ourselves in places of challenge and harsh circumstances that we're not really accustomed to, well, that's pretty much an occurrence every day. And in those times, we might ask ourselves, how in the world did I land in this mess? What on earth is going on here? I feel a million miles. Ask those sort of questions in those moments. This weekend, we continue our resident Aliens series, in which we're looking at the epistle, the letter that the Apostle Peter wrote. And in it, he refers to those who follow Jesus as being foreigners in this world, or aliens as it's described elsewhere. And Peter writes to those who profess faith in Jesus who aren't living in Jerusalem in the holy city, but they've been persecuted and scattered, they've been attacked, and they're living in other regions, other cultures, amongst other faiths, and yet still under ongoing persecution. And he encourages them and reminds them of who they are, where they are. He reminds them of how and why they should appear different to the world into which they step. For ourselves, the words of Peter reminds us that this world is not our long-term home. As we follow Jesus and trust in God, we reside here like aliens in a world which is hostile to God's rule and reign. The Apostle Peter brings us back to remember, to rekindle the kind of people God's calling us to be while we're here, even while we face hardships, those challenges, those struggles. And there's so much in this second chapter of 1 Peter. I'm not going to try and cover everything, but encourage you to get into it, to read it again, to meditate on it, to read the whole epistle, to read all God's word, for that matter. But to let it be encouraged, be reminded of what Peter was trying to do for those people back then and for us today. But the sub-theme, the subplot, the subtitle of today's message is Resident Aliens 2, What's Your Status? What's your status? Mission Control, they would get in touch with those who are on the voyage. And they get on the radio or whatever the frequency was, and they say, flight, what's your status? Give us an update. So today a message is going out to you from the Apostle Peter, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Friends, what's your status? What's your status? Now, this status isn't referring to our social media status, all those sort of things that, but the value and importance we place on those things and we communicate to others, it's an outward sign of an internal status. And I'm suggesting here that status is referring to our spiritual status in Christ. In other words, your relationship with God. Let me read again those first few verses of chapter 2. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. When the communication goes out, what's your status? Perhaps your response in those moments might be. There's a problem with this world. It's broken. It's contaminated with aspects of sin, and the sin has penetrated into all inhabitants. It's widespread. It's infectious. It's debilitating. It sounds like, you know, many sci-fi movie plots. But it's treatable. There is a remedy. And the rescue comes in Jesus Christ. And we have the privilege of receiving his saving work through the blood of Jesus on the cross. In the medical world, when someone is suffering or suffered some kind of distress or trauma and under attack, one of the first things that paramedics will do is to check for signs of life, those vital signs of life. They'll check for those vital signs, body temperature, the pulse, the breath. I want to suggest today that Peter is saying, friends, watch your vital signs. As you find yourselves in places of challenge and struggle, watch your vital signs. Not a case of your temperature or your breath, but for a believer, you know, those areas of your faith which ensure you maintain signs of spiritual life even in the harshest climate. Peter's saying that while you're here, live this way. While you're here, don't adopt or adapt to the local practices. But stand out for good reason. Rid yourselves of all malice, deceit, hypocrisy, those things that are toxic, unhealthy, not good for your soul. You know, those things that can strangle your perseverance, your endurance. We need to have an unrestricted flow of wisdom and security in God, those things that free us up and keep us away, those moments we think, if I stay in this situation, it's not going to be good for me. I need to avoid that. I need to be released of that. Rid myself of what might be latching on to me. And we can find that freedom in Jesus. I wonder what those spiritual and relational unhealthy things might be in your life that you need to avoid or rid yourself of. Peter warns you to do so. And Jonathan mentioned last week how As a tourist, you might go to different places. You might go to Europe, or you might go to America, and things are different. Things are foreign. You know, cars are driving on the other side of the road, and all, it just throws you a bit. And this time last year, our family was in America, and I was thinking about, you know, stepping into that culture and the context, and in particular in New York, you know, the crowds of people that were going along, walking on the sidewalk, you know? And I'd have to throw that one out there. But if you weren't in the main flow of foot traffic, you're in a whole lot of trouble. And as a family, seven of us standing there at the crossing, waiting for the light to go green, everyone else is just walking in all different sort of directions, people swearing at us, you know, hurry up, what are you doing? I'm not going to swear and give an example here. But people, you know, other issues were like the kind of clothing, you know, questionable clothing or lack of clothing. We're thinking, you know, kids, cover your ears, cover your eyes, enjoy the scenery, look up, there, the skyscraper. You know, those things that in New York in particular, the temptations that are there of get this, have that, you know, the bright lights, desire more. It's labeled the Big Apple mainly for this reason, because of the lifestyle and the temptations that existed there. The material things this world tries to convince us of are not the vital signs of life God has for us. Our vital signs flow out of our connectedness with the source of life. Our vital signs aren't related to anything this world has to offer. Our vital signs are the rhythm of our relationship with the one who offered himself for this world. Verse 2, Peter says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Peter's using a baby craving milk as the example here. And the intention isn't to say, just stay with simple teaching on who God is, and that's all right, just grow into opportunities where we can delve deeper into the truth and the wonder and the marvel of who God is. But this sense of, like you see a baby needing something and screaming like, I need it now, craving it. Yeah, that's how we are to crave the goodness of God. I can't live another moment without it. I need it in my life. I wonder for you again what those faith-filling nutrients are that you're taking in, that's sustaining you. You crave those good things. Friend, what's your status? Watch your vital signs. Keep your distance from those things which aren't good for your soul. Don't take it in or take it on. Chase after with passion the goodness of God. Just down in verse 9, Peter writes, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. We live here as foreigners and aliens, but we've been chosen by God. Army, all the same. Our relationship with God is not luck of the draw like this clip depicts. You're chosen by God. It's not random. He knows you. He chooses you. You're part of a royal priesthood. You're a member of a holy nation, God's special possession. Vital signs of life in God. Vital signs. Knowing who we are in him. What's your status? You're chosen by God. And sadly, when it comes to discovering our identity, finding our identity, the world attempts to define my identity, my worldly status, through my achievements, my titles, my affluence. But as you chase after those things, it's strange that the world still doesn't see that as being enough. You ever find that? Oh, if I had that, if I get this, there's still this sense of, oh, you're still not good enough. You're not good looking enough. You're not handsome enough. You're not pretty enough. You're not rich enough, young, old enough. You're not cool enough, or you're not hot enough. You know, those sort of things that play on our mind. My spiritual status says Christ is enough. In Him, I have my identity. I know I'm chosen. I know He is enough. And that helps me to face any situation that comes. It's not this sense of feeling like we need to have it all together. No one has it all together, but we are found complete in Christ. And as a follower of Jesus, when I know who I am in Him, and I'm not floating around in space trying to find my purpose, I'm not lost in space, I know what I'm here for. That is key. God's placed us here for a purpose. Once we were far from God, but God sent out His Son to find you, to find me, to bring us. God went to the dark side to bring us out into His glorious light. Once we were lost in darkness, now we live in the light of His Word. And that's your new hope right there, Star Wars fans. You are in Him. You are part of His royal priesthood. You may not be a rabbi. You most certainly aren't a Jedi. But let me say that you're a son or daughter of the Most High. And I think if we have that understanding each and every day, each and every conversation, each and every moment, that gives us a confidence and the courage and the conviction to live as foreigners, but to point people to Jesus. God has us here on mission to help those who may still be lost, to find God. You know, those who are far from God, those who have lost connection with Him. But I briefly want to go back to verse 4, where it says, as you come to Him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to Him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. This sense of living stones, what is all that about? With living stones, there's a picture of there's movement, there's interaction, there's engagement. It's not like just we're a rock, like a moon rock or something, that we have no color, we have no life. We're just sitting there, gathering dust. We are different. But as that difference, like maybe those rough edges move in and amongst each other, there's a sense of refining, shaping, connected with each other. With Christ, who is identified as the cornerstone, the sense of He's the one that holds us together. He's the one who gives us alignment and builds us up and grows us and matures us. And the faith community, the sense of us being living stones together, the faith community which I'm connected in and serve in, it's vital. It's a vital part of becoming a stronger and more consistent follower of Jesus. Let me encourage you. You come to Christ, you don't come to Him in isolation. You come into a family, a faith family. And don't think that you face a challenge, and don't think you can go it on your own. You face things on your own and do it yourself and be the hero. Or another way of saying it, I guess, is don't feel like you can go rogue. Don't go rogue. Stay connected. Encourage one another. Build each other up. The Apostle John records the words of Jesus and writes in chapter 15, "Remain in me," Jesus says, "as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can't do anything." That doesn't sound like going rogue. That sounds like staying connected, staying faithful to Christ, faithful to who Christ has called us to be, faithful to each other. We're called to a life in community with each other, to bear one another's burdens, to cheer one another on, pray for each other, those situations you face each week, share that. Pray into it. We're called to live this way as we are here on this earth. Remain in Christ. We're called to be priests. We're called to be priests. What's your status? I'm a priest. I'm not called to be a spectator and watch people just suffer. Watch people try to work out what's going on for themselves and stay in that lost state, in that dark state. I'm called to be a priest, someone who is willing to step into the gap to represent God to the people to God. In the Old Testament, the high priest was once a year able to go into the Holy of Holies, that sacred place, to be that representative. We have unlimited access to the presence of God. We are priests. God reminds us to show compassion, to the kindness and the love of Christ, to reach out to others and trust that God's Spirit will draw near to them and to ourselves. You're chosen. You've been given an identity in Christ. You're God's special possession. Priests, your vital signs, watch them. Hold them. Lastly, I'm going to ask what your status is. So what signals are you sending? Send the right signals. Is your communication clear? Or is there a bit of interference and static? You say, I'm standing for Christ. Yeah, I'm a follower of Jesus. But then in a certain situation, things might let it get a little bit shaky and unclear, and your signal gets blurred. You send mixed messages. Does my life bear the fruit God is wanting to produce in me? Again, in the Gospel of John, Jesus is saying, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." I ask myself, what's happening in my conversations, in my language? And you know, am I being a positive spiritual influence, or am I sending mixed messages? What's happening in the purity of my thoughts? What am I watching? What am I doing which may offend the Spirit? Because a lot of what's happening on the inside, my status on the inside, will be evident on the outside. What's my status? I'm chosen by God. I'm His special possession. And that will be seen on the outside. As I mentioned earlier, social media can often be a trap for us, not only because it's time consuming, but also in what we share. A few weeks ago, Prime Minister Scott Morrison experienced this issue where, or maybe his social media team did, he posted a video which had some questionable language in the music video, which he wasn't aware of, and so quickly took it down. I thought, oh, that's terrible. And I was thinking, well, actually, I did the same thing last year. I've came across a pretty cute video, and I thought, I'm putting that on Facebook. I saw the first minute of this five-minute video. I did not realize the content that was in the rest of it until someone pointed it out to me, and it didn't make the headlines around Australia, but it's still a reminder for me of what signal am I sending as a representative of Jesus? Send the right signals. Watch your vital signs. Don't go rogue. Send the right signals. As I finish up, I want to share a story with you that going back several years ago now, on one Sunday, July the 20th, Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong were astronauts on the Apollo 11 mission. They landed their lunar module, the Eagle, on the Sea of Tranquility. What we are most familiar with and what we often hear repeated are the words by Neil Armstrong, "That's one small step for man." What many people don't realize was that Buzz Aldrin was an elder at a Presbyterian church in America. And on board the module, he'd taken with him a communion kit. And then in the 1/6 gravity, just before eating the bread and drinking the cup, Aldrin reads from the Gospel of John these words: "I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides, who remains in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Here they are on the moon, and he's identifying his status. Not look how much we've achieved, but look who I believe in. In a way, he's reminding himself of his actual status. He's wanting to make others aware of his true status. He was sending a signal. What signal are we sending? Is it one which communicates to everyone around us that our status is found in Christ? Our status is connected without interference. Our status is bearing fruit and participating in God's mission of bringing lost people home. Send the right signal. Sometimes our signal may be received. Sometimes it may be rejected. But that's not our responsibility. That's God. Our responsibility is to send the right signal. Our responsibility is to embrace and know who we are in Jesus Christ, that we are chosen, that we are a child of the God. Friends, what's your status? What's your status? Knowing that, send the right signal. Let me pray. Father, we thank you that you choose us. And in that choosing, we find our identity in you. We find our purpose. We find our hope. God, we pray today that if there is a wrestle taking place within someone, if there is a war on a soul this morning, God, that the victory may come through Jesus Christ, through trusting in him to save. We give you thanks and praise. Amen.